Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of the Rob Brown Show underway now. Welcome back. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you. It is the Fan Upstate. Denton Day has ordinarily joined us on Wednesdays. He will be shifting to 920 on Fridays from this point moving forward. So our Friday show, jam-packed and more so than ever before, because on Fridays we have Rashad Beard at 8:40 talking Panthers, the boys from the Moving the Chains podcast at 9 o'clock giving you the high school football rundown, and now we add to the rotation Denton Day at 9:20, setting us up with his thoughts from a national perspective, the host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime for the College Football Weekend on Friday.
So Friday's the old Thursday.
Friday's the old Thursday. That is exactly correct. Friday's the new Thursday. Got a couple of things I'd like to get to here, but we do have breaking news. The Browns benching Joe Flacco. They are going to go with rookie Dylan Gabriel. Flacco will move to the backup role. Shador Sanders will remain as QB3 on the roster as it stands right now. But Dylan Gabriel going to get his first start. Somewhat interesting in that the Browns are in London this weekend taking on the Minnesota Vikings in this contest. That is that's an interesting spot.
Seeing a lot of anger about this, but you know, that's how it works. When one is gone, number two comes in and plays. That's,
yeah, the anger is the shocking number of people who just believe that Shador should have always been number two and it should be Shador's time to go out there and give it a run. One of those guys was an early pick, well, earlier pick than the other. This is how it works. Look, if Dylan Gabriel goes out there and cooks, great. Shador Sanders becomes trade bait for a, you know, six-round pick somewhere down the line. If Dylan Gabriel goes out there and stinks it up, then yes, at some point, Kevin Stefanski will likely give Shador Sanders his spot. Now, I will say this would be interesting.
That's a sure sign your job is done if you bench two quarterbacks and go to your third one in one season.
That would be interesting. What would be more interesting to me, just from the story perspective, would be if they bench Joe Flacco, go to Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel stinks, and they go back to Joe Flacco. That would be, I think, the story there. If Shador doesn't even get his spot, even after not one but two quarterback changes,
heads,
where you alternate one to two, two to one,
heads would explode.
Oh, without a doubt. And again, like, I know that there's a large chunk of people out there. And to be honest with you, I'm looking and going, yeah, like, you beat the Packers, but you're 1-3, right? Like, yeah, your defense may be even better than we expected at the end of the day. It's the NFL. Like, great defenses are important, and the concept of defense wins championships I still believe is true. But you do have to be able to score points. And this Browns team right now has scored fewer points than anybody.
They scored points, but for the other team.
Yeah. This Browns team has so far this season scored fewer points than everybody except the Tennessee Titans. Joe Flacco in every quarterback statistic, and y'all know we love us some Joey F-bomb around here, but Joe Flacco right now is last or second to last in every major passing statistic of 33 qualified quarterbacks that have played three or more games so far this season. Last or second to last in every metric. And I will say this, because I saw a social media clip this morning from a host on one of our brother stations in C-Town, who said, oh, Kevin Stefanski. In fact, the take was, What am I supposed to think is the hook for Kevin Stefanski? He doesn't appear to be developing, guys. The game plan's not great. He doesn't call the plays on offense or defense. Like, what is the thing that Kevin Stefanski does that justifies him keeping the job? And I said, to be honest with you, I said this to my computer screen. I was watching him on the internet. So, you know, maybe it gets back to him. I said,
you're not the only one who answers when someone, yeah, I mean,
talking to the man in the box in my computer who had that take, my response was, that's fair, but I very much put Cleveland into the same box that I have for years put the Carolina Panthers into. You could have the perfect head coach unless your ownership gets the hell up out the way. It's not going to matter. You could end up drafting the next Tom Brady. If your ownership doesn't get out of the way, it will not matter. You find a Tom Brady, you have to have a Bob Kraft who says, I will put as much money as I can and need to into it, and I will let football dudes be football dudes. I don't think there's football dudes in Cleveland right now. I've been kind of having this running joke going for the past couple of weeks with buddy of the show, Joey B, who had, you know, we talk a lot of football away from the air. And one of the things that we have discussed lately, it brought up this weekend after Minnesota got the win. There is a video of PJ Fleck going around the internet right now that is taken from just inside the door of the Golden Gopher locker room. And it's the football team, and they're all kind of standing facing them one direction. And then shot like a bullet out of the hallway comes PJ Fleck, who does. It's not a stage dive because he does it from the ground, but he jumps on a full sprint down the hallway over his football team onto the middle of them, and they body surf PJ Fleck around like he's the hottest chick at a Skrillex concert. Like, it's ridiculous, dude. They go bananas. And I texted it to Joey B, and I was like, LOLLMFAO, to which we said, PJ Fleck's a football dude. Like, PJ Fleck is a football guy. He is an absolute football dude, and we need to give him some credit for that. I'm big on football dudes right now. I am big on football dudes and what football dudes can do for a program. Kevin Stefanski is not a football dude. And more importantly, Cleveland does not let the football dudes make decisions. Hi, Jerry Jones. Another guy. Is Jerry Jones a great businessman? I mean, I guess you could argue the answer is yes. Is Jerry Jones a football dude? No, he's absolutely not. Been around football, wants to believe he's a football dude, but just based on the decision-making processes he has displayed the last couple of years, the Dallas Cowboys are a team that has a billionaire owner willing to go all in on the team, build a new stadium, yada, 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 but he doesn't let the football dudes make decisions. This was the problem with the Panthers, and one of the reasons I was optimistic with that football team is very simply because Dan Morgan is a football dude. And I think, though we are getting some reasons to begin to doubt it, we're going to talk about that here in just a moment from now. I think that, to some degree, Dave Canales is a football dude. So now I've got a franchise in Charlotte, North Carolina, with an owner who, after the controversy, I guess, after the controversy that went down with the bar in Charlotte where he got into it. And again, I've told you, I think that was just a billionaire with no social skills thinking that he was having a ha-ha funny LOL moment with a bar owner, and he just doesn't understand how to communicate with regular people. We haven't seen nor heard from Dave Tepper. And my assumption has been, honestly, that Dan Morgan doesn't take that job if David Tepper is going to be involved and if Nicole Tepper is going to be involved the way that they used to be. Dan Morgan seems like the guy that says, I will take the job to run this football team if I am running this football team, not you, and I just signed the paperwork you want approved. So that's my thought. Bad ownership, or more importantly, and I really should say, when I say bad ownership, there's a lot of different things that that can mean. But the number one bad ownership move of bad ownership is thinking that because you are a billionaire, thinking that because you have made money in business, or maybe worse in some cases, simply won the genetic lottery and were born to millionaires and therefore are one by default, that suddenly makes you the smartest guy in the room at everything. Jerry Jones. That suddenly makes you the smartest guy. Well, I made a bunch of money running a hedge fund. How hard could running an NFL team be? The answer is very, very. Just like I would assume that the greatest coaches in NFL history would not be able to run successfully billion-dollar hedge funds. It's the same thing. If a coach walked up into your office as a billionaire hedge fund runner and said, here's what you should do with a hedge fund, you'd go, dude, you don't, like, this isn't your world, bud. This isn't what you do. It should be the other way around as well. So I'm intrigued to see what Dylan Gabriel brings to the Cleveland Browns in place of Joe Flacco this weekend. I'm intrigued to see what Joe Flacco does as the two quarterback. And to be honest with you, just because I am always hashtag team content first, I'm excited to see what Shador Sanders says standing in front of his locker when he learned that Joe Flacco has been demoted, but not behind him. Not to QB3, and Shador is on deck to get his crack. I think there is going to be some drama coming out of that at some point down the line. But I also think it doesn't really matter. I don't think it really matters. I think you are looking at an organization that is run by an owner who thinks that he is a football dude. Well, a family, honestly, that thinks that, well, we own the Browns. Therefore, who could run the Browns better than us? A lot of people. As I have pointed out to you in the past, look at the teams that are the most successful teams in the National Football League right now. What's the name of the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs?
Clark Hunt.
Okay, you're a Kansas City Chiefs. Most people don't know that. Everybody knows who Jerry is. I assume a large majority of people know who Dave Tepper is. Why? Because they make so many dumbass decisions that they become the news stories more than the team. That's how I know.
Why aren't people making a big deal about the owner of the Colts right now? I've seen all kinds of stuff about her being on the sidelines, yep, having headsets on. No one's saying a word about it.
There is a difference to me between being involved and meddling. M-E-D-D-L-I-N-G. There is a difference between being involved and meddling. It is, let me give you a wonderful example here. There is, well, there's us. We've got a boss that is involved. He listens. He air checks. He gives us thoughts. He gives us recommendations. Hey, we need you to be able to do this.
Uncanny ability to hear a mistake.
He provides feedback and constructive criticism, okay? No, he's involved. He's involved because he wants to make sure that, hey, y'all are radio guys. You go do the radio stuff. But I will be involved to make sure that the radio stuff fits in with what the bigger picture for everybody and everything is. That's involved. I have also once in the past worked for a programming director who would, with great regularity, at least twice a show, genuinely and literally, would open the door when I was on a break and go, hey, talk about this next. And I go, I don't have anything on that. I don't have a take on that yet. I don't have an opinion on that. I don't care. Talk about this next. I don't care that you tease something else. I don't care that breaking news just happened. I don't care that the local team we cover is X, Y, and or Z. Talk about this next. That was meddling. And I firmly believe that it caused the show I was doing on the station I was doing it at the time to suffer. David Tepper has, Nicole Tepper has, over the length of time that I've been here, with maybe the exception of the last year and a half or so, meddled. Not been involved. They have meddled. There is a difference.
The new owner, Jim Irsay's daughter, who took over when he passed away earlier this year. You're right. There's a bunch of videos, and she stands on the sideline, and she's got a headset in, so she's listening to the coach's calls and conversations, and she's taking notes, and she does it at practice and all that. But do you know what I have not seen yet? Or at least it has not been reported yet, and nobody has let it slip out because it's very difficult to keep secrets in an NFL franchise. Am I right, Gail Benson, owner of the Saints? It's tough to keep a secret. What I have not seen yet is a story or even a rumor that she has begun to meddle, that she has gone to Shane Steichen and said, I want you to run these plays.
I'm just saying, you know, I've heard a bunch where, you know, the owner needs to stay out of the football stuff, doesn't need to be around, and everything I'm seeing, she's around and she's engaged and she's in all that stuff.
Again,
Arthur Blank, on the field all the time.
Correct. You know what else I know about that football team? Their GM, Terry Fontenot, is the decision maker of that franchise. Now, I am fine with an owner who has input. Fine. Input's fine. But there is a difference between input and your wife showing up on the sideline at practice with a play she drew up on a cocktail napkin and saying, you're going to run this week. That's not the same. There is a difference between, hey, from my perspective, this is the guy we draft, but Dan Morgan, you make the pick. That is why I did like a day of celebration after draft day this year when the Panthers had a deal they thought in place with the Arizona Cardinals should their pick come up at 8 and Teteroa McMillan was still on the board. They thought they had a deal done with the Arizona Cardinals. Big trade. And then Arizona, when they got to that spot, backed off their initial offer. They walked back their offer and offered less. And Dan Morgan, because this was all on tape, Dan Morgan took that phone call and was like, that's not what our deal was. And he's like, all right, let us talk it over. And he hangs up the phone and Morgan, I don't remember exactly the words, but he basically said, nope, that's not the deal. We should draft McMillan. And he and Canales both looked at David Tepper, and Dave Tepper, who was sitting back in a chair with his arms crossed, didn't say, he just nodded, right? Which was not, yes, that's what we do, or obviously, no, I hate it. That, to me, was a sign of, if that is your move, make your move. I am good with that. If you want to make the trade, make the trade. If you want to make the move, make the move. If you want to make the pick, make the pick. I'm good with it. Let a football. That is the day that I went, okay, I'm optimistic about us moving forward. So, take that for what it's worth. I do not think that we have seen yet Jim Irsay's daughter step in and start. Now, I'm not saying that won't happen down the line. Carly Irsay Gordon, by the way, is her name. Shout out when I give the name out there. Carly Irsay Gordon. I do not think that we have seen. Take notes, fine. Be involved, fine. Form opinions, fine. Bring them to the GM and the head coach and say, here's what I noticed. Because, hey, fresh sets of eyeballs is always a good thing. Yes, our boss air checks and listens and provides me feedback. You know what else I do? I ask people that listen to the show, hey, what do you think about the show? What do you think I could do differently? What do you think I could do better? What do you think I should do more of, less of, whatever? Because you don't always have to listen to every voice. But more eyeballs or more earballs in this case on the product can provide more opinion feedback, which can help you gather a larger data set about what should be happening and what should not. There's a difference between meddling. The Browns owners meddle. I don't think it matters if Dylan Gabriel is the next Tom Brady. As long as the ownership is the ones that pull the trigger on moves, the Browns will just continue to be the Browns. It is what it is. All right, let's take a break when we come back. Speaking of the Carolina Panthers, there is a rumor that is picking up steam around the Carolina Panthers. And I don't particularly like it. Tell you what it is next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are we vibing right now?
I don't know what that means. We're jamming at the club.
Feel the vibe.
Is that what that is? Okay. All right.
The Rob Brown Show back on the radio. It is the Fan Upstate.
By the way, this is called Ready for Showtime.
I mean, it'd be good walkout music for like a particular type of character.
To me, it's basketball music.
You
play in an arena when you're introducing a team, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good walkout music for a particular gimmick. You know what I mean? Like you gotta fit the vibe.
If it's a wrestler, it's a female wrestler, probably.
Possibly. Oh, you know who I did? I haven't watched AEW this week. Apparently, Dalton Castle is back.
Yeah, he's been
all
back.
In.
He's been
the
back
boys,
for a while.
All
yeah.
in. All
they
right.
just need to find new boys.
Got to find new boys.
I think they came from outer space, if I recall. I could be wrong.
The Carolina Panthers are not, so far, what we wanted them to be. Now, we saw the flash in the 32-0 demo job that they did on divisional rival the Atlanta Falcons a couple of weeks ago. Then they turned around from their best performance of the year and turned in their worst performance, period, point blank, end of discussion, of the Dave Canales era when they went on the road to New England and got absolutely hammered by the Patriots last weekend. Well, I made a point that, and I have been making the point, we talked about this a little bit when we were talking about the difference between a involved owner and a meddling owner in an NFL franchise in the last segment. That one of the reasons that I came into this year with confidence about the growth of the Carolina Panthers, in fact, went so far as to on multiple nationally syndicated radio shows as a guest say, hey, David Tepper's gotten out of the way. Maybe Rashad Beard's t-shirts worked and he decided to step back. Get it? Because after the dust up in the restaurant where Dave Tepper, I genuinely think, was just trying to relate to normal Panthers fans and just lacks the ability to do so because he lives in an ivory tower and we don't. I think that he, I want to say, got it at that point. And that's good. That's wonderful. That's awesome. That's fantastic. Because that is, to me, what was the biggest problem for this football team for a very, very long time. The rumor going around now, and I've seen this in a couple of places out of Charlotte, but nothing that is necessarily... like, not like Joe Person, right? Not Shayna Quick. Shayna Quick, pardon me. Not out of the ones who seem to be closest connected to the program. So I am saying, take this with a not grain of salt. Take this with the whole damn shaker of salt. But there is a rumor that has started to float around that Dave Tepper is not pleased, not with the losses of the Panthers, but that David Tepper is not pleased because he feels as though the team has looked, not bad, unprepared. Well, let's go back and revisit very quickly the press conference that was held by Dave Canales after the embarrassing performance on the road at the New England Patriots. I pointed out a theme to you in the takes from Dave Canales. The takes from Dave Canales were, we were unprepared. We were not good enough. It is on me to continue to learn what it is that these guys need to succeed, to call the right plays to help them, to get them ready in practice. We need to be more gelled organically. We need to be better and more ready to play games like this one. So this is in line with the rumor that Dave Tepper is again.
Rumor.
This has not been stated out loud by anybody who is directly connected to the program, nor any of the bigger names that report on this football team, which is why I will say I am somewhat skeptical of it. But they're not necessarily nobodies. And I would point out that through last year, even when the team at the beginning of the year was booty cheeks, you didn't hear any of this. This kind of stuff wasn't floating around. Now here we are at 1-3, and it is. Here's the takeaway for me. Here's the gut reaction that I had when this
rumor
got to me yesterday. It wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me because Rob Brown, who has been a staunch defender of Bryce Young for the past year and a half, I believe the only one, at least around here, certainly in this room, I'm relatively confident on this radio station, and I'm willing to bet in the upstate, even I have lost the goodwill.
I don't know that staunch is the right word. It's beyond that. Doting to a degree? I mean, I don't know.
Whatever adjective you'd like to use here, I have been, I think, in the media anyway, in this area, the last Bryce Young defender in a broadcasting position. I also was a guy that defended Dave Canales quite vociferously. I defended Dave Canales because, as I have said with a lot of head coaches, and we've had this conversation a few times this week, changing the entire culture of a program is not a one-year job. And I don't care if you're talking about a high school program, a college program of any level, or an NFL franchise. Changing the culture of a program is not a one-year job. That takes a long time. It takes time to root the old culture out, even if it was a good one. I lean on Kalen DeBoer and Nick Saban in this case. I think you're starting to see Alabama hit the next gear under Kalen DeBoer. I think you're starting to get to where I thought they were going to be when they hired Kalen DeBoer, but also said when they hired Kalen DeBoer, this is going to take some time because Nick Saban had a very special, very unique culture that no one's going to do anywhere close to Nick Saban. So Kalen DeBoer has to root that culture out. He has to be able to, anybody who cannot adapt to the new culture has got to go. He has got to filter out Nick Saban's guys, the guys that are there because of Nick Saban's culture and can't or won't or don't want to adapt to whatever the culture around Kalen DeBoer is. It's going to take some time. Well, again, it's just a win over Georgia and a couple of 70-pointers and 60-pointers against lower-level schools. But after the loss to FSU, the stories coming out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama are that Kalen DeBoer right now is a different dude. And it's clicked. And Bama's going to be. This is why I'm picking Bama to cover against Vandy. You know I'm pulling for Vandy. You know I am Diego Paviously pulling for the Doors. Clark Lee is absolutely my favorite coach, not named Brent Key, in college football right now. Actually, I would take that back. I actually am a bigger fan of Clark Lee than I am Brent Key because while I like Brent Key, he's kind of that gruff offensive lineman. Clark Lee's a dog, man. He's a dude. I love this guy. When we talk about changing the culture of a program, as Clark Lee had to do at Vandy, took some time. As Brent Key had to do at Georgia Tech, took some time. As Kalen DeBoer had to do at Alabama, took some time. As Mike Vrabel has to do at New England, not just get rid of the Belichick culture, but also get rid of the not great culture that was left behind last year by Gerard Mayo. It takes time. The Carolina Panthers, I'm not saying, have had enough time under the Canales-Morgan regime that the culture had to be changed or should be finished being changed. It still very much is in progress. But man, we should be at a point where we can see it start to take shape, right? We should be at a point where we have started to see it take shape. However, there is, to go back to the last segment one more time again, there is one more issue here, which is that the culture problem for the Carolina Panthers is, I'm not going to say unique to the Panthers, but it is unique to teams that have a new head coach. The culture was set by and determined by, for many years, the owner of the team and his wife, David and Nicole Tepper. They set the tone. They set the culture around the franchise. Scott Fitterer, as the GM of Carolina, was a glorified yes man. We have heard all the stories of Scott Fitterer having conversations with coaches and then snitching instead of taking what the coaches were saying and going, okay, what can I do as a GM to kind of bridge the divide and fix this so that they're happy so that they can get right with the players? He'd just go snitch to Dave Tepper, and Dave Tepper would react to that. Changing a culture that is set by upper management is even tougher than changing the culture set by a coach. But we should still see, at this point, some development. And the reason I have not defended BY is, despite how good he was and how many end zone dances I was doing at the end of last year, because, yo, look at BY, this is that dog. We're four games in. He's looked bad in two games. He's looked okay in two games. What he's got, I think 190 yards is a season high, two touchdowns season high. It ain't good enough. And as for Dave Canales, I would expect that by now, maybe the culture change is still in progress, but we would see some results. And all I'm seeing is Panther fans saying, same old Carolina crap. Same old crap. It's the same stuff. It's a different day. New head coach, new GM, same issues that we are dealing with right now. And if that is the case, then yes, Dave Canales right now, probably, I'm not going to say hot seat. I'm not going to say very hot, as one reporter, journalist, Twitter dude said. I am going to say it should be starting to feel a little warm right now. You know how you get in your car and you flick the little switch that turns on your heated seats? If you're one of us one percenters that has those, you know how like you flip in and don't feel anything first and then you just get a little bit of warm before it really starts to heat up? That's Dave Canales' hot seat right now. The switch just got flipped to turn on the seat warmer. But if I don't see a team come out this Sunday against Miami, have an identity, have an established game plan, successfully work with each other to get there and get a dub, then I think even next week I'm going to go, it's lukewarm seat time for Dave Canales after, yes, 22 games. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a couple more sports stories I want to get here before we ask what the X is going on and get up out of here for the day. But I do want to share a little story real quick because I think some of you will appreciate it. I don't play fantasy football anymore, and it's not because I don't think I'd be good at it or that I don't enjoy it. The problem is I probably enjoyed it too much. There were years where I was in like 6, 7, 8 leagues. And there was one year, the year that I quit, I don't remember exactly which year it was, but I remember my decision to quit fantasy football very clearly. I was in, I believe I was in 7 leagues that year. And I was getting prepared for a Friday show on, I was working afternoons at the time. It was like Friday daytime, and I was getting prepared for my Friday show. And I started getting ready for the fantasy football weekend, making sure there were no last minute waiver drops. You know, you got to pay attention. Sometimes an owner has to drop a good player because they got to fit in somebody else so they can have somebody that is going to score points for them that weekend. And they're just hoping they'll sneak them on and off the waiver wire. You got to pay attention to this kind of stuff if you want to win fantasy football. So I came to the realization as my show started on that Friday that while I put on an A-plus show, because obviously, come on, I had spent more time that week, legitimately, literally, I had spent more time managing my seven fantasy football teams than I did managing my show. I mean, show was still good, but like I spent more time managing my football team, football teams, than I did managing my actual job. And I came to the recognition that while some people are addicted to substances and some people are addicted to behavior, I was addicted to winning at fantasy football. I was just putting too much time. So I got out because I also know me and I'm not the type of dude who goes, well, I'll just join a league, because then I'll go, well, I'm in one league. What's two? And if I'm in two, what's four, right? Like it's, you know, I'll just draft similar teams. We'll be fine. I had to quit. Anyway, the wifey who started a new job way earlier this year, her new company invited her to participate in their office fantasy football league. And so she came to me right before the season started and she said, hey, will you help me not do my team, but will you help me manage my team? Like just give me, if I have a question, if I'm worried about a dude or who to pick up or whatever, will you just give me your feedback on as if I was a listener? Like don't run my team, but just give me your thoughts if I have questions. And I said, absolutely not a problem. Let's do it. I'm not going to do it. I don't want your login. I don't even want to look at your screen. If you have a question, you ask me. So she has started playing fantasy football this year. And she has been, and I'm very proud to say, going so far as to watch NFL games that aren't the Saints. Because she's like, oh, my running back's in this game. I got to say, she suffered through a Jets game because Breece Hall was her starting running back. And she wanted to see, like, all right, do I want to see if I like him or not? Fair enough. Fair enough. I get it. So she's been playing. She's been genuinely trying. She's 0-4. It's tough. And she has lost three games by less than 2 points. And in all of those games, she was up against a quarterback who balled TF out. Week one, she lost because she was up like 24 points going into the Bills game, the Bills-Ravens game that opened the season. She was up by a bunch of points, and then she went and she checked and she realized that Josh Allen's point total. She lost because Josh Allen balled TF out. I don't remember who it was in week two, but same situation. Like she had a really good game with her team, but she lost to a quarterback who had like 46 points because he had like five touchdowns. It's driving her up a wall. It's driving her bananas right now because she just can't seem to get a win, even though she is, as far as I'm concerned, doing everything right. So she's going through a situation right now where her defense, the Packers, are on a bye this week. And so she said, do I drop them and pick somebody else up and play them? And I said 90% of the time, yes, but you've got to be in a spot right now where you've got to consider it's a good Packers defense. Granted, they let the Cowboys have 40, but that's a good Cowboy offense. It's a good defense, so just be aware. If you drop them, you will have to go through the waiver wire. And if you win, and I think there's one other team that is winless right now. If you win, and they don't, and then they want the Packer defense, they get waiver wire priority over you. You won't be able to get them. She's like, all right, whatever. Well, then she finds out that not only does she have the Packer defense, but she has Tucker Kraft as her starting tight end as well. Also on the Packers. Also on a bye. And I told her last night, Taysom Hill just got cleared to practice. Remember, his season ended last year with a torn ACL. He is coming back to New Orleans. And I pointed out that the beautiful thing about Taysom Hill, even though we have no idea if he will be Taysom Hill again, is that he is credited in fantasy football as a tight end. So you can plug him in a tight end spot or in a flex spot, and not only do you get his tight end points, but if he runs a wildcat quarterback for a touchdown, you get that. If he runs as a wide receiver and has a receiving touchdown, you get that. If they put him in on a kick return, which I doubt he's going to do coming off of a knee injury on the wrong side of 30, but maybe, we'll see. If he gets special teams points, you get that. Like he's a tight end you roster, not because he's an exceptional tight end, but because they let you play him as a tight end, but he can earn points scoring as a running back, as a fullback, as a tight end, and as a wide receiver, as a kick returner, and you get all those points. So I said, he's cleared to practice. He's got 21 days, which means he may not play until 3 weeks from now, but you may want to go ahead and grab him now because once it kind of hits the mainstream that he is practicing and the Saints announce that we expect Taysom Hill to play, you know, next week or the week after that, somebody's going to go get the guy. Problem is, your tight end's on a bye. You got to figure something out. Now, she still has Ravens tight end Mark Andrews on the roster right now. So she's like, what do I do? And I said, all right, here's my play. Get Taysom Hill, put him on the roster now. Yes, it's going to cost you a flex spot, but a bench spot. Get him, put him on the roster. Let's see if he comes back and if he is still Taysom Hill. Because if the answer is yes, you've got a high-scoring tight end to plug into that spot. Drop Tucker Kraft, because while he's a very good quarterback, you're in a game this week. You need points out of every position. And while Tucker Kraft is probably based on the fact that Mark Andrews has like disappeared from the Ravens offense this year, you know, there's always the chance he pops off. And as much as I'd rather you keep Tucker Kraft, at the end of the day, you're going to be in a fight to get your first win this weekend. So go ahead and drop Tucker Kraft, play Mark Andrews, grab Taysom Hill. If Tucker Kraft makes it through waivers, then next week, and Mark Andrews doesn't go off this weekend, drop Mark Andrews and pick Tucker Kraft back up, and then there's your starting tight end, which then you have Taysom Hill, and we can decide what to do from there, maybe trade Tucker Kraft, whatever. Then she says, okay, what do I do about my defense? And I said, screenshot me who's available in the free agency pool for defenses. And the top two defenses that are available right now are the New York Football Giants and the Cleveland Browns. I said, okay. She said, who do I go with? I said, the Browns. And she said, why? And I said, well, I got a couple of reasons. Number one, Giants playing the Saints this weekend. That game is in New Orleans, Louisiana. The Saints have traditionally and historically been a better football team at home. And Spencer Rat Daddy Rattler has been a better quarterback at home. His only multi-touchdown game so far came at the crib. They're a better offense at the house. So considering that they were in a game with the Buffalo Bills for 3.5 quarters last week before Buffalo was finally able to break it open, I think there's potential that, I'm not saying they will, but scary potential that New Orleans maybe pops off and has their first 35-point game and you get killed. Cleveland, on the other hand, is going to be playing in London against the Vikings, who still don't have a starting quarterback under center, gave up a ton of sacks, and oh, by the way, what does Cleveland do? They generate sacks around Myles Garrett. You've got a bunch of sacks, probably a turnover or two. They're playing a bad, well, not bad, they're very talented, but with the quarterback situation Minnesota finds itself in, bad offense, and oh, by the way, it's in London. It's on a soccer field. If there's one thing you've watched these London games and picked up, it's that these soccer fields are thicker than the NFL fields in the States. It slows the offense down. So the one advantage that Minnesota had, which is speed demons at wide receiver, they don't have that this weekend, or at least not as pronounced as it usually is. You play that. I said, and there is one more reason you play the Browns defense over the Giants. And she said, what is that other reason? And I said, because they're playing the Saints, and if I have to listen to you for 3.5 hours cheer for the Giants over the Saints so that you can win a fantasy football game, I'm going to friggin' divorce you. And she's like, I would do that. And I said, I know. I know. So I want you all to know, gentlemen, ladies, do not let fantasy football ruin your relationship. All right? Don't. Ladies, if you're in a fantasy football league, fellas, if you're in a fantasy football league, and one of your guys that you need to pop off is up against your significant other's favorite team, do not cheer for them to their face that they are burning up your actual favorite football team. I don't want any marital strife.
I wanted
out
to
there.
Let it resonate a little bit. I mean,
it's an important message.
If I had an echo there, I would have threw it on there. But
it is a fantastic, if I may say so myself, PSA to the lovebirds out there. If you have a player on your fantasy football team that's popping off, do not rub it in if they are popping off on your lover boy or lover girl's favorite football team. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
Or do it. I mean, you know.
I mean, at least put them on TikTok or something.
If your relationship lasts, then you know it's for real. All right, the first thing that's Xing is Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani Xing because the LA Dodgers got a 10-5 win over the Reds last night, and Shohei Ohtani went yad on the very first at-bat. It was the first of a pair of gigantic dongs from Shohei Ohtani in that dub last night. I said on BetMGM Tonight, it was aired on the station, if you got a chance to listen, when I was talking to Brad Evans and Ryan Horvat, and they said World Series predictions. I said, out of the National League, I'm taking the Brewers. I think they've got the hottest team in baseball on the NL side right now, and the pitching from front to back end is the best. However, that is unless the Dodgers click. The Dodgers we thought was going to win 108, 109 games. Unless they turn into those Dodgers, which they very well might, in which case the Dodgers are going to beat everybody's ass and win the World Series. Well, I'm not saying that is what happened, but five home runs in that game, two from Shohei, two from Teoscar Hernandez. Great pitching showing from Blake Snell. And the Dodgers are not just up 1-0 in the series. They're up 1-0 in the series and have, in my opinion, thoroughly demoralized Cincinnati.
All right, the next thing it's Xing is Chad Powers.
Dude, I got to tell you, like, I love the Chad Power things when it started with Eli Manning. I don't really, like, I don't have any interest in this movie. I don't know why.
It's not a movie, it's a series. I watched two episodes of it yesterday.
Is it any good?
You'll love it.
Really?
You will absolutely love it.
Okay.
You'll love the humor, you'll love who's in it, you'll love how they do things, without a doubt. I believe you will love it.
I will take the suggestion from the great one. I have not been excited. Like, I've seen all the previews, the trailers. I'm like, all right, I get it, but like,
it's been over-advertised. A lot of times when something's been over-advertised, you automatically think, okay, they're really trying to sell this thing. It's probably not that good.
Yeah.
But the mix of real-life sports in with the sports. He was an Oregon quarterback playing Georgia in the national championship.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you what happens, but, and then he, you know, has, his life is ruined, and he kind of has to disguise himself to go play for a smaller team.
Yeah.
And I like it.
I just, like I said, when Eli was doing the Chad Power stuff years ago, whatever it was, I really enjoyed it, but I've seen 1,000 previews, and I'm just like, it doesn't, for whatever reason, hasn't clicked. But on your suggestion, I will give it a shot.
And I like the first episode's 40, and I think the second episode's 33. So you're talking about an hour to watch the two episodes that came out. I and the cameos and things, I mean, the way they tie it around SportsCenter and a bunch of things like that, it makes it look a little more realistic at times.
Listen, that's what I genuinely loved about, for instance, what I loved about Ted Lasso was kind of the same thing, in that it's a fictional soccer team, but like, Ted Lasso was the coach of the Wichita State Shockers, and then he gets hired, and then he goes in AFC Richmond is playing Manchester United, Manchester City, Chelsea. Like, they're playing real clubs in their stadiums. And I thought that connection, it allows you to feel immersed as if this is a real thing.
They put a preview out for the rest of the season, and they will be playing some other really big names in college.
Okay.
So, and it looked at how they filmed it and everything looks really cool.
On the great one's suggestion, I will give it a shot.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Olive Garden.
I don't know the answer to this. Here's what I'm going to say very quickly, and then Lonzo will tell us. Respect for what Olive Garden is. It fills a niche of, I want quick and I want Italian, and it's there, and it's always going to be the same. If you drive past a local Italian restaurant to go to the Olive Garden, you don't like Italian food. You like convenience, and that's okay. But within every Olive Garden, there is a driver 2 iron away, a good local Italian restaurant that you are going to get infinitely better Italian from. Infinitely.
Okay, but at the same time, a big-time chain that's been successful for many years.
Absolutely, because
you got to believe that it's probably going to be decent or it would be gone.
It's fine. It is convenient, and it's uniform. When you go get the pasta primavera from Olive Garden at this one, it's going to be the same as the next one and the same as the one after that. Versus, if you go to local Italians, everybody's going to have their own different special
local
way.
Local Italians, just pull up to an Italian's house and go, hey, what's for supper?
Dude, I'll tell you right now, the wife and the ma-in-law, they love some Olive Garden. And it kills me in my soul every time they're like, you want to go get Italian? And I'm like, yes, I want to go get Italian, not Olive Garden.
You got to get past that. That's the best breadsticks and salad in the business.
It's the only reason I'm good to go. Because I will get unlimited soup and salad, and I will get the Alfredo sauce, and I will dip breadsticks in that Alfredo sauce until I die.
All right, finally, the last thing that is Xing is Hulk.
It's because we've seen the first graphics of him in the new Spider-Man movie.
Now, Mark Ruffalo was asked who would win between he and the Red Hulk, and he said the Hulk.
I honestly agree with that, but I do think it is because eventually Red Hulk's hulkiness wears off versus Hulk, who is just going to get progressively more angry and therefore stronger. Comic book lore, yes, Red Hulk's going to put up a fight, but yeah, Hulk's going to win. The more interesting fight would be Red Hulk versus the Abomination. You want to go nerdy? That's the fight we talk about. Hey, thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. If it didn't, it's your own fault. Come back tomorrow. We'll try to do it all over again, but better. I'm Rob Brown. He's the greatest Lonzo. The greatest Lonzo. He is the greatest Lonzo of all the Lonzos. But he is the great one, Lonzo. See you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.